Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 30th day of November, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, and nothing loose, kick off shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news, but first, we have to tell you about the excitement you missed. Before this started, we have a system that transfers phone calls from the phone system to the board so we can take your calls. There was something wrong with it. Dave, just running around like a madman, got it fixed just as the Harry Legg said, started the intro. So it was very cool. It was very cool. Well
done. Don't try that at home.
I guess
I'm somewhat of a professional.
Somewhat, anyway.
Yeah.
And of course, you realize Steve Ray is not with us. He's recovering from a Black Friday injury. Pulled a groin muscle at the at one of the sales. He'll be fine. You'll be glad to know he'll be fine, but he's not with us today. We wish him a speedy recovery. You know, these aging people.
Bring that. We won't even tell
we
that story.
We won't even tell that story, at least not yet. All right, to the news. And if you're going to give us a call, if you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to you shortly. If you aren't on the line, why not? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. On Tuesday, Microsoft security analysts revealed that crypto-stealing malware called DexFot had already infected close to 80,000 devices since October 2018, reaching its peak in the month of June of this year. The malicious code reportedly hijacks legitimate system processes to disguise its nefarious activity with the ultimate goal of running a cryptocurrency miner on the infected device. Cryptocurrency miners are things that give you Bitcoin. We can talk about that in a minute. Let me finish this. When infected users attempted to remove the malware, monitoring services and scheduled tasks will trigger reinfection. The report reads, DexFot is not the type of attack that generates mainstream media attention. It is one of the countless malware campaigns that are active at any given time. Its goal is a very common one in cyber criminal circles, to install a coin miner that silently steals computer resources and generates revenue for the attackers. The DexFot malware is similar in many ways to the recently discovered malicious code in WAV audio files. This type of malware campaign allows hackers to deploy CPU miners onto the victim's device, stealing processing resources and generating thousands of dollars a month from mining cryptocurrency. These kinds of malware payloads are increasingly popular among hackers, as they provide financial benefit while operating in the background without the user's knowledge, an attack commonly called cryptojacking. If your computer seems sluggish or slow to respond, it might be time to dance the security tango. And our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Whoa, I got to read it off of here. I don't know why I threw that away. Is crypto malware infecting Windows computers? Your choices are, I'm clean, I'm infected, I have no idea. I'll dance the security tango. Are you still using Windows? And, of course, other. And so far, we've got 73 votes from all over the world. And I'll dance the security tango is number one. Follow Bear, are you still using Windows? So, and, of course, if you picked other, please feel free to leave a comment in the in the forums, and you get there at soundbites.org. Again, bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff. You'll see the forums, And the second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, the number one item on the poll discussion is 30 November 19, crypto malware infecting Windows computers. So you can join us there. And, of course, as people have been doing, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Before we get to the phones, I just want to talk about what crypto jacking is. Crypto mining, mining for bitcoins, essentially, of whatever kind. It might be Bitcoin, it might be Ethereal, it might be Litecoin, it might be, there's thousands of them apparently at this point. But what it does is, those are called cryptocurrency. They're not real money. They're conceptual money. Not backed by anything. Like, our money is really conceptual, of course, but it's backed by the federal government. And so it has a certain legitimacy that cryptocurrency does not. But a lot of people like to mine crypto coins because they're basically anonymous, and that's useful too. The problem is, crypto mining is for many people not profitable. It used to be, back in the day, you could just get a computer, set it up, mine a few bitcoins, and it would work. But as they get harder and harder to mine, as time goes on, you have to have a more and more powerful machine to do it. And right now, for the most part, unless you spend an awful lot of money on a cryptocurrency miner hardware setup, it's actually, you will lose money, because you will actually spend more in electricity than you will make in cryptocurrency. However, the fact is that if you're using somebody else's computer to mine cryptocurrency, then it becomes more useful, because you're not using your electricity but theirs. And that's the whole idea behind crypto mining. They want to use your machine, both your GPU, your graphics processing unit, which is much, much more powerful and much faster than your regular machine, your GPU, as well as your CPU, to do mining. There are mining things that'll even use your phone, which is not tremendously fast or useful, but the reality is, it's not their power, and it's, if they have a million phones, that adds up to a lot of processing power. So it's a little easier. It's a little easier to do with somebody else's machine. So that's the idea behind crypto jacking, they call it, using somebody else's crypto system. Somebody else's system to do your crypto mining. And so that's what that's about. If you are doing cryptocurrency mining, you know that either you're not making any money at all, and in fact losing money, or you spent an awful lot of money on a bit miner hardware system.
And not getting much out of it.
And still not getting that much out of it anymore. All right, to the phones. Thank you for your patience. Our first caller is Zach from Rochester, New York. What's up, Zach?
So I have about a 60-page document which I'm trying to send electronically to a relative. And, I have a document scanner at home, but I'm just trying to figure out whether or not how I should try and send it. It sounds like it would probably be too big to be one PDF to send via an email attachment, and I was wondering if you had a suggestion as to what might be an alternative.
There are several alternatives. Once you get it scanned, of course, you can scan it, depending on your scanner and the software you're using, you can scan it to PDF, or you can scan it to a doc format, et cetera, et cetera. A doc format would likely be smaller than a PDF, and you might be able to mail that. In any case, if you have a cloud storage system like Dropbox or Gmail or OneDrive or iCloud or dang near any of them, you can store it there and send your relative a link.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Maybe they have Gmail. I have Gmail. Right. Okay.
So that means you also both have Google Drive.
Right.
So if you sign into Google Drive, you can save the document there. You can upload the document to that.
Okay.
Right. And then open up the document there, whether it's a PDF or a document format or whatever you've saved it as. And up in the upper right, you'll see a big blue share button.
Uh-huh.
And in that share, you can enter an email address. What did you say, a friend or a relative?
A relative.
A relative. You put your relative's email address in there. And you can also, at that point, set it to be the person can edit, or they can comment, or they can only view.
Got it.
And then you say done, and they get an email with a link in it, and you're done.
That sounds like that's the best approach. That'll work great.
There you go.
All right. Thank you so much for your time and expertise.
Thank you. Have fun.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we need to start paying more attention to these online storage systems, because they are for more than just storage. As you just heard with Zach, you can actually do a nice share thing where you can take the any document or any picture or dang near anything. And if you're using Gmail, it's 15 gigabytes. So as long as you then, once they've got it, maybe you delete it again, you can certainly share some pretty big stuff that way. And if you're using something else along the lines of OneDrive or that sort of thing, you get 5 gigs. So even so, that's an awfully big thing. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Carl from Greece, New York. Hi, Carl. What's up?
Hi, my name's Carl Schmidtman, and I run the Linux Workshop on Saturdays, third Saturday of the month.
Oh, hi, Carl. What a great thing.
Yeah. Last month, I had canceled it because we were closing up the space at East Main Street, and somebody showed up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's my fault. That's my fault. I did not know you had canceled it, and I was telling people to go.
So I was calling today just to let people know that for November and December, we're not going to be doing it just because they're busy times of the year and we're closed up on Main Street. January, we will do it again, but I have to find a place to have it. So watch the meetup group or the website, and I will put where I'm going to be.
Okay, so we'll watch the meetup group and the website. What's the website?
Interlockrock.org. That's where we were meeting, and it still exists. It's just we had to close up the space.
Interlockgroup.org?
No, Interlockrock, R-O-C.
Right. Okay, good.
.org. And okay. Meetup. .com and look for Interlock or the Linux Workshop.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. I am sorry you had to close up the space. I hope you find something quick.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of people are starting to get really interested in Linux, and it's a great service that you guys provide, so I'm hoping you'll find a space quickly. And I know it's the holidays, and that's hard. But I hope you find a space fast, and I'm looking forward to you guys getting set up. And I'm upset that you have it in Saturdays from noon, so I can't come.
Right, and I can't listen to your show
right.
One day a month. So,
yeah. All right. So those of you who are interested in Linux need to know about the fact that they're not going to be there until maybe January. You guys are not actually affiliated with Lugor, are you?
With who?
Lugor, the Linux User Group of Rochester?
Linux User Group of Rochester, yes. That is one of our co-sponsors, and the PC User Group, RCSI, is one of the co-sponsors. Interlock is one of the co-sponsors. I'm sort of a member of Lugor, which is just meeting online mostly, and once a month we're having dinner. And so, yes, we still do that. We actually met with the RIT user group, Linux user group, on last week, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice. I don't see anything, I'm afraid, on the website past 2016, so.
For Luger?
Yeah.
Like I said, the group kind of doesn't meet. We still have a mailing list that we still, or IRC channel, which we get on once in a while, and a mailing list. And so we do that to let people know when we're having our, we still have a beer sig that used to go
That's
after
important.
Our monthly meeting.
Yeah.
Well, that stayed, and the meeting went away.
Well, at least you kept something that was important.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. All right, so stay in touch. Let us know what and where and how and when, and we'll certainly mm-hmm. pass the word along.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much for being there and for doing your show for so many years.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for the Luger, well, for the Linux user group, and we're very, very grateful because people are becoming so much more interested in Linux. And that sort of help is always a good thing. Thanks.
Yeah, I liked your, you're still running Windows?
Yeah. and that I thought would be good for the Linux people, the Chromebook people, the Mac people, the Android people, the iOS yep. people. All right, so thanks very much, Carl. We appreciate it, and let us know when it's back up and has a meeting spot.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the thing about Linux is it's actually pretty easy to use once you get it set up and started. But I understand that people are reluctant to change to something that's unknown. They, you know, when something is unknown, you think it's hard. So having somebody like the Linux user group to help you transition or play with it on an old machine, which a lot of people do as well. You know, you get an old laptop, you throw Linux on it. You expect it to be slower, not quite as responsive because it's old hardware, slow hardware. You
yeah,
got
but
that.
It's a faster operating system.
But it is a faster operating system, and you get to play and decide, you know, and to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what that's about. So you don't
yeah.
mind it being a tad on the slow side. I run it on my main machine, and it's blazing fast. Windows is slow by comparison.
Well, that's what I mean. They probably won't see that much difference.
Right.
Because only from the standpoint that, you know, yeah, you don't have the overhead like you do on Windows
right.
with it. So it's, yeah, even though it's an older machine, it's probably going to run faster than a current Windows 7 system.
Right. The only time you really see a slowdown is when you're running it from a live CD or a live thumb drive.
Yeah.
Because it's compressed on that drive.
Yeah.
And so everything it does, it has to decompress before it.
Well, that's stupid to even think that it's going to run faster.
Right.
If you have expectations that, oh, it's going to run really fast off a CD or, like you say, a flash drive. No, you're drinking the wrong coffee.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Webster, New York. What's up, Dave?
Good afternoon. I'm calling because of an iPhone 6 problem that I've been experiencing.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for calling. See you next week.
Yeah.
Well, around the 4th of November, I experienced with the cell phone that it was searching for a signal, and it was performing in a very lackadaisical fashion. Couldn't really get it to work at all. 2 days later, I took it into one of the cell phone carriers' service centers, and they recommended changing the SIM card. That seemed to correct the problem for about 10 days. And since then, the searching issue has returned, and this tends to happen on a quite irregular basis. And that's why I'm calling, because I'm not sure what my next move is, because right now the cell phone isn't doing what it's certainly capable of doing.
No, no, I get that. So it still works, but it works very slowly.
When it's searching for a signal, that's correct.
Once it finds the signal, it's fine?
Well, the problem is I'm never sure when that's going to happen. For example, about 5 to 11 this morning, I checked it, and it seemed to be okay. 20 minutes later, it had returned to its searching signal, and right now it's sitting next to me, and it's still searching for a signal.
All right. So you've done the simple things like off and on again.
Yes.
Okay.
That still sounds like an issue with the phone.
It might be, but there's people have been experiencing this after the last update.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once you've connected to Wi-Fi, you want to go to Settings, General, About, and wait for 10 seconds, in your case, maybe 30, and see if there's a carrier settings update. If there is, do it.
Okay, I've got all that written down.
Okay. Is your battery also draining because it's trying to connect to the network?
That's possible.
Yeah. You can also reset your... First, try the carrier settings update. If that doesn't work, then reset your network settings. And the way you do that is go to Settings, General, Reset, and you'll see Reset Network Settings, where you then enter your passcode and hit Reset Network Settings again. And then if that works, you're done. And if not... the next thing to do is to change out your SIM card, but you've already done that one. But I would try those things first. The last thing to do is a device firmware update, but man, that's not something I would suggest that the average user do.
Not for the lighthearted.
Right. So you might want to take it to, if you get to that step, you might want to take it to your carrier or to MacAv or one of those places and have them do that for you.
There is one other sign that I find troubling. I've never had any issues with what I would call unsolicited emails. And since this problem has occurred, I wouldn't call it aggravating. But they all tend to have the same type of wording where they give you a little sales pitch. And this is before I would ever think of downloading these things. And then to unsubscribe, virtually everyone has the to unsubscribe. It's almost like they're baiting you to download them.
Yeah, all right, listen, we got to take a break. Stay on the line, will you?
Okay.
Stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes. Well, with Dave Enright, with Dave from Webster, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we still have David from Webster on the line. You still there, David?
Absolutely.
All right, here's the thing. You were talking about starting to get annoying emails.
Yes.
Okay, two things. It is unlikely that it is related to your other problem, but just in case, you should probably dance the security tango. I know you have an iPhone, and everybody thinks iPhones don't get any problems, but they do. So here's how you fix those. Go to securitytango.com, and across the top is a menu. If you go to Let's Dance, the bottom choice is the iPhone Pavan, because I couldn't think of a dance that started with I. So on that page, you'll see a number of apps. There's Lookout for iOS. There's Mobi Shield. There's Avira. There's McAfee Mobile Security. Install that. Check your machine to see if it has been in any way tampered with, and that will be good. If it's not that, it is likely that it is simply unrelated. What happens is, if at some point they start getting your email address, and the problem is, on the one hand, if you don't reply, you know, like unsubscribe, you keep getting them. But if you do use unsubscribe, then they know they've got a live person at the other end, and they just spread your email address everywhere else.
That has been a familiar theme with your program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is put them, not them, but the words that you object to, you know, like Viagra or whatever it happens to be, put those in a blacklist through your email provider and let them handle it.
Filter it out for you.
Yeah. So, for example, I use Gmail, and Google is astonishingly good at taking care of that stuff. They're not perfect. Nobody is. But they're astonishingly good at it. But with some of my other systems, I've had to institute a blacklist of either sites, you know, the something.com at the end of the address, or a particular address, or words in the document or the title that I just say, if it's got this, it's junk, just toss it in the trash. I don't even want to see it.
Well, that's one thing, though, I've liked about the new Pixel phone.
Yeah.
Is sit there when we get bogus phone calls, to sit there and let that scan it. Yeah. Or, you know, answer it for you. And they hang up immediately, and don't seem to get that call anymore.
Yep. Yep. But at any rate, those are the things to try.
Well, that has been a big help.
Well, good. Good luck.
Can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave. You can become a member of the station. That's thanks enough. That's how that works. We are always delighted to have someone join as the latest member of the Jazz 90.1, and particularly the Soundbites families. We're not in a pledge drive, but people can join every day if they want to, and join more than once if you want to. Join early and often, I say.
Holiday gift.
Right. What a great holiday gift that would be for people. We're going to be talking about holiday gifts soon, too, as a matter of fact. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Doug from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Well, here's your chance to make fun of the last Windows 7 user. I procrastinated for the past month. And I have run Ubuntu from a thumb drive to see if I like it, and I think I do. And I just have a question that's more curiosity than anything. If I go to use what is the Open Office thing that comes with Ubuntu?
Yeah, LibreOffice.
If I use that to try to open a file that's on my hard disk, which is still, you know, a Windows disk, it gives me some kind of a complaint. I'm not in front of it right now. I don't recall. But if I open the same file, which I simply copied over to my Seagate external drive, it says, sure, opens it right up. Why?
Right. One of two reasons. The most likely one is that your Windows 7 machine is running FAT16, which is the formatting of the hard drive. It's a very old type of formatting, and any modern operating system will say, oh, I'm not really happy with this because saving it could cause an issue. But if you copy it to your external drive, that's using either FAT32 or something else, NTFS or something. And so it will happily open and close it on that drive. It may also be that your Windows 7 drive is read-only. To Linux. So it will not change that. It could also be that because it's on that FAT16 partition, It's there's an ownership issue, and it would depend on. They all essentially have the same result, which is that you get an error message. Without knowing which error message you get, I can't tell you which of those problems it is, but they all result in essentially the same thing. So if you were to reformat your drive and put Linux on it, of course you would want to do a complete backup of everything on your Windows 7 machine that you want to keep. But that problem would go away.
Gotcha. Now, second question. I understand Linux is more resistant to viruses than Windows, but still, among the antivirus company names that we're all familiar with, do any of them work on Linux? And is there a favorite that you folks have for a an Ubuntu newbie?
Yes, in fact, going back to the Security Tango, one of the choices under Let's Dance is the Linux Lambada. There are a number of choices, one of which is ClamScan, which is free with Linux. And I show you how to install it and how to automate it on that page. Whatever your package manager is, which under Ubuntu, for example, is the apt or aptitude package manager. You can just say sudo apt install clamav. And you're essentially done. After that, there's instructions on how to clean your system and how to do, if it doesn't automatically go into your, crontab file to run daily by itself, I also show you how to add it to that.
Oh, fantastic. I will be on your website in 3 minutes.
There you go.
Thank you. Well, thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
That's what you heard. So good.
have a great day and no speakerphone.
There you go. Thanks. Bye-bye.
They're learning.
One of the things that we have to debunk is this myth that there is any operating system on the planet that cannot get a virus. Are they likely to get viruses? Linux, unlikely. Macs, more likely, but a lot less likely than Windows. But the fact is that there are bad guys trying to get into any operating system. So whatever operating system you have, you should be running an antivirus on it all the time. Well, for two reasons. One, of course, is to keep your own machine safe. Mm-hmm. But the other reason is to be a good net citizen. I get a lot of files from people that are infected with Windows viruses. Well, they're not going to do a thing to my Linux system, but I clean them so that if I were to ever pass that file on to someone else...
You're not passing on the infection.
I'm not passing the virus, exactly. So being a good network citizen is as important as keeping your own machine clean. So whatever operating system you're running, and the other thing is, unless you're still running Windows 7, you're probably on a machine that's fast enough that you're not even going to notice your antivirus program running in the background. So there is absolutely no excuse for it. In fact, you should be running an antivirus program on your phone, on your tablet, on every single thing you've got. Again, with no modern device, is it going to slow your system down significantly? Certainly, the slowdown will be well below the threshold that a human can experience it. So don't even worry about that. Just load that in. One of the things that I do with my Linux system, and I talk about it on the Security Tango, is every day, and I at home I do it at 3 a.m. because I'm usually off the computer by 3 a.m.
Maybe.
I don't sleep anymore. I'm aged. I have the system.
Wait, we'll get your daughter to help you.
You'll get my daughter to help me out. I have the computer check itself at 3 a.m. Every single file on every single partition on the machine, so that I know, even if I somehow missed something the first time around, that it's been gotten at 3 a.m. And it's usually done by 4, 4:30, because I've got two very, very large, very, very full hard drives. So it takes about an hour and a half.
Takes a little time.
Takes a little time. But I'm generally...
You should be sleeping.
I'm
hello.
Be sleeping by then. And so it doesn't have an impact on me one way or the other at all. but for no other reason than being a good net citizen, you should be running this stuff. But also because there are a few viruses that will attack Linux systems. There are a few viruses that will attack Mac systems. And Windows and Mac systems are big targets nowadays because so few people protect them.
Yeah.
You know, they know that 90% of people are on Windows are running an antivirus program. So unless you can write an antivirus program that will bypass a virus program that will bypass your antivirus program, which is hard to do, then you're not going to get through. But on Linux and Macs and iPhones and Android devices and iPads, many people don't run anything. And so the likelihood that you will be able to infect someone is much, much higher, even though there are fewer systems out there. So if you mm-hmm. are running Linux or a Mac or iOS or Android, all of those operating systems have a section under Let's Dance on the Security Tango. All of them lead to a page that will talk about what programs you could and should be running. So do that. Protect yourself. It takes a few minutes to set up, and I promise you, unless you're up at 3 in the morning, you won't notice that it's doing anything to your machine at all. And of course, even on my machine at home, as I'm generally up at 3 in the morning, it doesn't stop me from using it. It just makes programs load a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Big deal. So yeah, and the Security Tango's been up there for over 15 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a fan, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt to donate, and it certainly doesn't hurt.
The support definitely helps.
To buy a shirt. There are t-shirts for the Security Tango on the website. And if you want Tango merch or you want to donate, we would appreciate that. It will never be necessary. We're happy to provide all of this information for free.
Yeah, but
it does cost me.
Yeah, that equipment doesn't run on free air.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
You know, it takes electricity, it takes space, and if something goes wrong with it, you know, you've got to do repairs or some maintenance.
Yep.
Like anything else.
Yep. So if anybody wants to do that, they're welcome to it. But in any case, the Security Tango is a website that provides lots and lots of free advice to people for keeping their machines clean. So if you have any question if your machine is clean, check Security Tango and get yourself fixed.
I found out one thing, though, this weekend.
What?
I've been playing with the Raspberry Pis and all that mm-hmm. and doing the screens. Well, it turns out the screen that, you know, the Nexon screens, they use formats in 30 or FAT 32.
Yep.
So trying to find, you know, I went to my Windows machine and thought, okay, I could just format and select, you know, the FAT 30. No, it doesn't like it. You actually, I had to go searching, and I finally found a program that will format and straight FAT 32, no biggie, boom, boom, did it. And then I was able to take the file and flash it to this little screen. But it will not accept any of the pseudo, other
really?
Names or anything else. It actually has to be, you know, in the header when you look at
real
it.
Real FAT 32.
It has to say FAT 32.
How interesting.
And the time, what a pain.
Who the heck has a FAT 32? Well, Doug. Was it Doug or Dave? No, Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
David does. He's got a Windows 7.
Yeah, but even Windows 7 Windows 7. I have my wife's laptop. Right. Still has Windows 7 on it, which I run one of my radios with. That's why I don't worry about it, because it's not on the internet.
Right.
But, again, I tried to format there. No, it uses the new extension. It doesn't say FAT32, so I actually literally had to go find an app or, you know, a program, and I found one finally. That's the other thing that bugs me. You want to download something, okay? And it says, all right, go off to this website. You go there, and then they want to plug you with all this other junk.
All the time. All the time.
Well, you got to install this driver finding program and everything. No, I don't. I just want this one stupid program and give it to me.
Right.
Not going through all these other iterations. Well, we could offer you this software package, too. I don't want that. I just want this. Give it to me. You know, without all these other hassles and other junk that you're trying to push.
Yeah. I get that. There's a site that I get news from that also has really interesting white papers and other ebooks and all this stuff for free. Mm-hmm. You can download them. Every time I go to download them, they want me to fill out a form of about 25 input fields, 25 fields.
Oh, heck no.
Every single time. And it's all the same information, and they've already got it because they're already sending me emails. And there's nowhere, and I've looked, that says I'm already getting these.
And you can't already autofill.
Right, you can't, well, because every time it's a different page.
Yeah.
So it's not autofilling. And you would think that these people would be smart enough in the 21st freaking century
to figure that out.
To figure that out. All they have to do is add a parameter on the end of the URL that says this person's already registered.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they have to do.
Lazy.
Do they do it? No.
No, it's lazy programmers.
Stupid programming.
Yeah.
And I've now unsubscribed.
Yeah, well, that's why some sites I won't go back to, because the stupidity, and they're forcing you to do, you know, get this and this, and it's like, no. Or it'll take you off to another search engine, and it fills you out with all this other junk, and it's like, wait a minute, what does that got to do? It doesn't. They're just trying to get you off to look at this other stuff.
Right.
It's like, I can't be bothered with it. I want to get this done. I don't want to futz around.
Yep.
With your other junk that you're trying to push on me.
Yep. But, you know, it's the way it works nowadays. You know, everybody needs money, and I get that.
Yeah.
I just talked about that with the Security Tango. I don't insist on that stuff. I don't interrupt your day. I don't throw it in your face.
Yeah.
But there's a donate button, and there's a buy a shirt button. And
That's acceptable.
Right.
But not taking you off to another web page.
Well, that's just it. I would never do that.
From where you were, that you got to now look at this stuff and, oh, no, I'm not interested in this. And then go back. No. Like I say, there used to be so many, like CNET used to be a great one. That you could go look for programs and download them. Now they're even taking you off the Never Never Land and all this other stuff, and it's just annoying.
Yep. Ugh. Well, that's one of the reasons that I also prefer Linux, because when you go to most of the sites that are Linux programs,
mm-hmm.
they don't ask you for any of that stuff.
Yeah.
They just say, here's the thing.
There you go. You're all dressed up and ready to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, it's and I get it. Everybody needs money. Everybody needs to make a living, and particularly in these parlous economic times, a lot of people have started a second business after they were forcibly retired, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, and I do get that. Seriously, you have to pay. You have to pay one way or the other, and on most sites and. It just becomes annoying, and I get it. I do get it. Let me remind you, by the way, that Steve, God bless him, has put the radio stream up on YouTube. So you can not only listen to us over the air or over the Jazz 90.1 stream on your smart device or computer or phone or wherever, or through the Jazz 90.1 app, the amazing Jazz 90.1 app. And you can also listen on the YouTube stream. And we've got about 3 minutes left to talk to Vic from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Vic. What's up?
Hi, guys. I'm looking at all the sales that are on now, and looking at, in particular, some of the home security indoor cameras. And it looks like the ones I'm looking at support 2.4 gigahertz. Now, what's going to happen when 5 gig comes over here? Are we going to be forced to use 5 gig, or are we going to... Are we going to have a choice where we could use either or?
Okay, so a couple of things. Let me break this down. Let's start out with the difference between 5 gigahertz as a wavelength and 5G as a cellular service.
Oh.
Okay. So 5G is a cellular service. We're on 3G or 4G now, depending on your phone. And 5G is really the fifth generation. It's not actually five. Well, okay. It's not meant to be 5 gigahertz.
Gigahertz, yes.
So the idea is that it is a faster but shorter throw. So you'll get faster speeds on your 5G phone, but they'll need more towers, which may indeed at some point raise the price, which doesn't hurt them at all. But in terms of your home network, if you've got a 2.4 gigahertz router, then it will remain a 2.4 gigahertz router until you replace it with one that doesn't do 2.4 gigahertz. Many routers nowadays do both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. Again, 5 gigahertz is a shorter throw, but a faster throw. So, for example, in certain parts of my house, well, of course, I live in a Faraday cage of a home anyway, but in certain parts of my house, I cannot get a 5G signal. But in the parts where I can get a 5G signal, it's faster.
Yep. Same with my house.
Right. And so you may find that whatever you get will not have 5G available in that particular spot. But it doesn't matter, because unless you throw away your 2.4 gigahertz router or buy one that doesn't do 2.4 gigahertz, you will always have 2.4 gigahertz as a choice.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that, but I do now after you explained it to me.
Yeah.
I just had my computers about a month ago direct wired, so now I don't have to go through the wireless adapter, because I have a Faraday house also.
Yeah.
And now it's like you click and it's right there. I mean, I love it.
Right, wonderful. Good. Excellent. All right, we got to go, Vic.
Thank you.
All right, that music tells me that we are done with the first hour. But don't go away, because there's a whole nother hour of this nonsense coming up, and all you have to do is listen in. Take a quick bio break, I know I will, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right, it's Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thank you all from the bottom of our hearts, and we will be back in just a few minutes. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966 Jazz. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We are Soundbites.
Yes, we still are.
It's been a long week. as we age, that happens. The I did want to talk. We had Vic from around the corner on the line who was talking about video. I thought he said video doorbells.
Oh, yeah. Surveillance cameras.
Yeah. You need to be careful about those. I just, as you know, I am no longer in the newspaper, so I do a newsletter. I also have a phone app, and they are for different things. And this phone app, I just put in a video doorbell thing. Article about video doorbells. The Ring camera is the one everybody knows, and they're advertising the living patoot out of themselves right now.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of others. The problem is many of these companies, and in particular Ring, have been investigated. Ring is now owned by Amazon, and Ring has had their struggles with information security. Let's just put it that way. And they share users' video not only with law enforcement, but also with a Ukraine-based research team. I wonder what server they're storing. Never mind. But at any rate, a bunch of senators just sent a letter to Jeff Bezos at Amazon about this. They want to know how they encrypt, how Ring encrypts your user data, if at all, who these Ukrainian researchers are, what they're doing with our data, what kind of voice of, and facial recognition they're doing. But they say it's to help with neighborhood security and crime watches and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I got some swampland for you, too.
Well, the other part of the problem is when you use a thing like Ring, you are automatically enrolled in an app called Neighbors. So anybody in that group, and it's everybody in your neighborhood, can see your doorbell. And you cannot opt out, at least at this point. So that's a problem. And, of course, they are sharing your data with over 225 law enforcement agencies. And at any rate, you may decide that this is someone you want to trust and someone you want to deal with, and that's your business. And God bless you one way or the other. But in terms of your security, you should at least be informed.
Yes.
So you can make an informed decision as to what it is you're doing.
Did you see that one YouTube video? He works for NASA, and he's a relatively young guy. He designed this package, that you put out on the porch.
Oh, is this the one? Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about.
He literally made it so they can't. Well, they can steal it. They pick the package and they go.
Right.
And once they open it, what it does is it's got a four phones in it.
Yep.
There's four phones in it, so it can capture, from all angles. But the minute they open it up, and it explodes in that it sends this centrifugal force, sparkle stuff all over the place. Yeah. And, the phones go off.
It's a glitter bomb.
Yeah, so they can track it. And they're throwing it, he's been able to recover it. And also gotten some great photos from these folks that are going around, the porch pirates, stealing stuff. And I thought that was so cool. But, yeah, he's recovered it a number of times. He packs it back up and literally turns all the video back over to the police. And all these folks that got this glitter all over the place and it's sticky and everything.
Yep. Let me just say thank you to Martin. You know who you are and what you did, and thank you very much. And we've seen several of those. what one guy said, he wraps his cat litter up in an Amazon box and puts it on his porch.
Well, that's where they were saying a lot of folks, if you want to get rid of junk, you just wrap it up into an Amazon, Save the Amazon boxes. Put it all back in there. People going around picking up their deposits of their animals.
Yep.
Kitty litter and everything. They open it up and there's
You got to think there's a nice heavy package. There's got to be something great in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All this kitty litter.
That's funny stuff. But yeah, the fact is these Ring device, not just Ring, any of these video doorbells, unless it's one you designed yourself. Now, I have an old phone that is continually shooting an image from one of my windows, through one of my windows of my front porch. So I can, when the doorbell rings, I can see who's there by bringing it up on my phone or tablet or computer. So that's a thing that I created myself. It runs on my internal network and isn't sending any data to anybody except me.
Well, I've also seen them where they, you know, just like the fake surveillance cameras.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the same with the doorbells. It's got a light flashing. So folks, they see that flashing and they, oh, no, I'm not going near there.
Right.
Just as a deterrent because they don't know whether it's a real one or not.
Right. And it would be easy enough to 3D print one of those, actually.
Yeah.
Now that I think of that. Interesting.
Yeah, just
idea.
Throw it up, and all they have is an LED light in there on a little battery, and it sets it on, you know, just to pulsate every 30 seconds that it just flashes for a second. You know, sort of like your alarm system in your car. You know how once you lock it up, it every minute or so it'll flash a little, you'll see a light red red light come on. You can do the same. They do the same with these Ring doorbells, and it just flashes. It catches the whoever's coming up there. So you don't know if it is real or not. And to get just a fake doorbell thing, it's not hard.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty clever idea, actually. I like it. I like the idea. There's a site called Yegi, yegi.com, Y-E-G-G-I, that's essentially a search engine for 3D print files.
Oh, okay.
And there's pages and pages of doorbell, video doorbells on it. So yeah,
and like I say, put a little circuit in there, to just pulsate a red light.
Yep, and that's easy enough to make.
Heck yeah!
Oh, that's funny. That's a clever idea.
You probably go over to a place like Goldcrest and find a little, LED light with a circuit or something.
Yeah,
and throw it on a little timer.
Yeah. Couple of bucks at AliExpress or Banggood, and
yeah, there you go.
Buy 1,000 of them for $2, and you're
start a business. Yeah.
Start a business. There's an idea. There is an idea.
Well, that's the thing, and that's why they a lot of places will put up surveillance cameras, but you don't know whether they're real or whether they're fake.
That's right,
and it's whether you want to take the chance or not.
That's right. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We've got 84 people who voted in the poll so far about crypto malware, cryptocurrency mining malware.
One thing I've got to admit, granted, they've had these Black Friday sales and everything else, and more and more folks, though, I think it's becoming a bigger issue, and I think the retailers are finally discovering this. You saw some stores opening up, on Thursday.
Right.
Which I am totally against.
Right.
I'm sorry. Thursday, one day out of the year, I'll take that back. A few days out of the year, it's called, family time.
Right.
To just sit and be with family. Thanksgiving and Christmas Day and that are two of the biggies that I would say, you should not worry about the great sales and everything else because they're still going to be there. You know, the stores and that are going to still be there tomorrow, but to take the time and spend it with your family. And I think realtors are stores are thank you. Retail stores are finally realizing that a lot more folks are doing stuff online. That you can, you know, order stuff. I don't have to go out and fight those crowds. Oh, I can order it right online and get it delivered. Amazon and all these right. other companies now are offering that you can order it online, save the hassle, save the gas and everything else, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go do these deals. And that's the other thing. If folks have really been paying attention, I've noticed, like in the computer world,
mm-hmm.
that is really geared down drastically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the past decade, folks, I mean, we used to always be talking about, oh, the latest and greatest machine that you're going to want for Christmas and a must-have. Nowadays, because we've become a disposable society, it's now a laptop or a tablet or my phone. You don't see folks pining for the big boxes anymore, you know, unless they, you know, got one at home that'll serve the rest of them. Otherwise, the rest of the folks are walking around with their tablets or their laptops because that'll do just as much as you want. And especially now with the faster internet services that everybody's streaming both on their laptops and tablets or even their phones, you know, a movie. Oh, yeah, I can have it right here and take it with me and I can start and stop it whenever I want because of these services that they offer.
Yep.
You know, and the gamers are about the only ones left that need the big, powerful machines. And that's why when you go into these stores, you're seeing fewer and fewer desktops that you have to order online. So that's driving more and more folks to do their shopping online.
Yeah.
Because you can get it so much easier, so much faster, and sometimes some better deals. Because instead of, you know, just being in one store and I got to look at, oh, this is what they're charging for this. Oh, I can go up onto the internet and put in a price for something and say shop. And it will shop for the best price for that particular item. I don't have to go running from store to store to store. I do it right from the comfort of my home. Yep. I can find the best price. And whether they're offering coupons or anything else, boom, you apply them, and there you go.
Well, and the other day, I have to admit, I was doing some online shopping, and I ran across an Amazon had a deal. You know, mm-hmm. they have flash deals.
Yep.
It was a $350, $380 Chromebook, $139.
Whoa. What size screen?
In the 14-inch. Okay. I caught it in the last 2 minutes.
Whoa.
So, yes, thank you. I will take one. But I didn't have time to send it to anybody else to say, hey, here's a deal.
Whoa.
I only caught it in the last 2 minutes by the time I was done
sometimes
getting
that's
mine.
That's sometimes the way it happens.
Now, I won't get it for another week, but but it's free shipping because it's Amazon.
And you got that one anyways.
And I got this one anyways. But I thought, look, this that was one of those, it was an HP 14-inch new model
mm-hmm.
does it's as you know you get up to seven years of
free updates.
Support free updates from Google and this one is right at that so it'll be 2026 or whatever 2026
mm-hmm.
I will continue to get updates through that
and for that
14 inches
that price?
4 gigs of RAM for $139 I think it was $134.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll come shortly, and it's those kind of deals that are quick. But you know, we used to have a thing called Cyber Monday.
Yep.
And the reason it was Cyber Monday is because everybody had much faster digital connections at work than they had at home. So Monday morning after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. they would go into work and do all their shopping online fast.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, so many people have fast connections at home that I don't know that Cyber Monday is still the thing it was, although there are many companies still pushing it.
Oh, yeah, they still do a lot of that because, like I say, a lot of folks don't want to go out to the stores. And you, just the fact that you can do a Google search on a particular item and have it pop up with, you know, say a half dozen, and I'm being very low on my estimate, of values.
Right.
And it's, oh, this price, this price, this price. And you can pick the best one.
Yep.
And they might be maybe a couple bucks more, but, oh, they're offering free shipping. I can save there.
Yep.
You know, and you can do more comparative shopping than you can going from one store to the other to the other.
Yep. And I will say, I really appreciate Amazon Prime. We are Prime customers because my wife has the coffee business, and she gets a lot of stuff through Amazon for that. So it's worth the $100 a year for Amazon Prime. But it also means we get the movies and the TV shows and all that stuff. And anything I order is also free shipping. So, by the way, my new Chromebook, I don't pay shipping on.
Well, there you go.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And there is a thing called Woot. W-O-O-T.
Oh, that's been around for a long time.
Well, they are now an Amazon company.
Oh, are they?
Which means that I don't pay shipping on them either.
Oh, sweet.
So I scored a bag of random crap yesterday.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. And so it was $5 and no shipping. I still pay tax.
Yeah.
Amazon will take tax money, but they won't, but I don't have to pay for shipping because I'm an Amazon Prime customer. And I know friends who buy so much stuff at Christmas for family that having Amazon Prime for $100, they save $100 in shipping, more than $100 in shipping. When they say, you know, we're going to buy these things and ship them here and these things and ship them there and these things. So they go right to the people, as opposed to, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, gift certificate.
Right, right, right. So I bought a bunch of stuff for my daughter when she moved into her new apartment. I had it shipped right to her. Boom. Done. Nothing to even think about or worry about. So, if you're shopping online, however, you want to pay attention. Often you are finding refurbished items. I don't have a problem with refurbished items. I buy a lot of refurbished stuff, and it, you know, 99% of the time it's great. But in addition to that, you want to be aware of the company you're buying it from and the stuff you're buying. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Steve. What's up?
Hey, maybe you can help me with this. Maybe I got something that's died on me. I got a thumb drive, a PNY. It's like 128 gigabyte.
Yeah.
It started acting erratic, so I transferred everything off it to another one.
Good.
And I tried to reformat it, all right? Now, I reformatted it under NTFS instead of FAT32. And I did the slow process where it zeros everything out.
Yep.
And now it says everything healthy in computer management if I go into Linux and gparted or disks.
Right.
The only problem is I can't do anything with it. It says it's read-only, like in computer management and Windows. And it says write protected. Anytime I try to reformat it back to FAT32, I can't even transfer any copy disks, or I can't copy any files to it or anything. It's just locked out totally. But it says healthy on there. I can't understand what's going on. Has it reached the end of its life? And maybe it's kind of...
Well, it depends on how old it is, of course. But if you are using... If you formatted it as NTFS... it often will show up as read only in Linux, particularly. There is a program called NTFS Fix that you can install on Linux, which theoretically will fix it.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and it also may be that what's installed on your system is a series of programs called NTFS Progs, NTFS P-R-O-G-S.
Okay.
And you really should replace that with NTFS-3G. So if you remove the NTFS Progs and install NTFS-3G, you should then be able to it just replaces the driver.
I see. All right. Okay, this sounds a little more complicated than I thought.
Well, start with NTFS Fix.
Right. Okay. We'll try that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you will need to put in the drive number. So that would be, you would say sudo NTFS Fix /dev/SD, whatever, you know, wherever
right.
it is.
Yeah.
But that what that does, there's a when you format something NTFS, there's a log file that gets created, and that log file is wrong.
Yeah, I can't even remove. There is something
on there. I can't even remove it. Yeah, that's what NTFS fix does.
Uh huh. Okay, and I notice I've lost compared to the other. I have a SanDisk one that I've transferred everything over. It still has 4 gigabytes more of memory. It's the same size, so I've lost 4 gigabytes of memory someplace. I thought maybe it was corrupted, and the reason being is when I go into computer management, Windows, NTFS, it won't. You right-click on it, and everything where it says delete or, you know, reformat and that, they're all. And you can't do anything. It locks out, and if I try to do anything, it says write protected.
Right. Why did you pick NTFS, by the way?
I just thought that maybe I could correct the problem by doing it that way, and I guess I shouldn't have. And I was also thinking, well, since I can't use it for that, maybe I'll just make a backup of Windows on it and format it in NTFS. But I can't even put anything on it. It won't take any files. You can't put anything on it. It just says write protected and won't let you do anything. It's just empty, but it says healthy.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, if you're going to use it with both Windows and Linux machines, you might want to format it with VFAT, the virtual file allocation table system. That would be usable. NTFS should also work. If you're only going to use it with Linux, format it with the XT4.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yep.
Yeah. What we're talking about here is when you go to format a drive, you have to tell it how to save data on the drive. Each of those has what's called a format. And there are multiple formats. We talked earlier about FAT16 and FAT32. FAT stands for file allocation table. Early Windows used FAT16, 16-bit. Actually, very early, just used VFAT, which was 8-bit. But FAT16 is a 16-bit system. FAT32 is surprisingly a 32-bit system. Then Microsoft went to NTFS, the new technology file system for Windows NT, and that's where they still are. But there is also the VFAT system, the virtual file allocation table system, which works with everything. And then EXT is 2, 3, 4 is what Linux uses. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. I just realized today is National Computer Security Day. So today's a great day to dance the security tango.
And do your backups.
It's one of the things I do. As I've mentioned, I send out a newsletter I'm not in the paper anymore, so I send out a newsletter at sknick.com. And one of the things they do at the bottom is I have a little reminder every time I send out one of the newsletters. Mm-hmm. Now would be a great time for you to do a complete backup.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole problem. You know, I mean, it's not if, it's just when is your machine going to fail on you?
Yep.
And I guarantee you I can bet the bank on it. It's not going to be at an opportune moment. You're going to be in the middle of something, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it goes, and you've just lost everything.
Yep.
Because over the years, while I had the business going, the number of times people bring it in and say, can you get this back? Well, where's your backups? I meant to.
Yeah, right.
And I meant to bring it back, the data back too, but that ain't going to happen, especially when the whole hard drive isn't even spinning up and you got to send it back to a place like DriveSaver, which is now going to cost you quite a few bucks to get that back.
Yeah.
Versus taking, they make it so simple now. I mean, even like your photos. Photos, I would say, are probably the most important thing.
Yep.
Documents and all that other stuff, yes, it'd probably be a pain that you would have to recreate the document. But a photo, that, folks, is irreplaceable.
That's right.
The
chance to take it is gone.
Yeah, once that moment is gone, it's gone. Or that particular loved one that you wanted to save forever, if that gets lost and you haven't backed that up, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do to bring that back.
That's exactly right.
And that moment, that special moment you were trying to capture and hang on to forever is now gone, and nothing I can do to bring it back.
Right.
And I feel bad for you.
And what? Right. And one of the things we've talked about is where to back up and how to back up.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if you've got the Google Cloud,
that's one.
You can put your stuff there, and iPhoto will keep your photos. I personally use a program called pCloud, mm-hmm. pcloud.com, pCloud, or maybe pCloud. I don't know. But I got it a lifetime 500 gigabytes for $75. Lifetime 500 gigabytes, half a terabyte for $75. That price has gone up, people. It is now up to $122.50 for a lifetime half a gigabyte of storage. It's still a heck of a bargain.
Cheap.
And what a great Christmas gift that makes.
Uh-huh.
For $245, again, one-time lifetime payment, $245 for 2 terabytes of cloud storage. You put your whole family up there.
Yeah.
And peace of mind for lifetime.
Yep.
So,
And not take the time. Once you set these up, you could have it nightly. Do backups in the background.
Oh, no. It's better. You get an app that you run on your device, Windows, Linux, Mac. They have for all of them. And when you save something into, let's say you set it up for your documents folder. When you save something in your documents folder, it's instantly and automatically backed up to the cloud.
But no, what I'm
done.
What I'm saying though is just taking the time to set that up.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, some folks have problems even spending 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Clicking on a button. They took the time to set backups up and then don't take the time to do them. And then I don't feel sorry for any of them.
Yep.
Because you know what? It's just like we've said before. Evidently, it wasn't that important to you that you couldn't spend moments to do that.
That's just it. And this is a deal right now. It's the Black Friday exclusive, 75% off the lifetime price. Hard to beat. If you didn't take advantage of the $75 deal, you can still get the $122.50 deal. I'll tell you what, it's given me peace of mind. When I save something, I save most of my stuff in Google Docs, so I know it's there. But I also save a bunch of stuff locally, particularly stuff I'm working on, programming and stuff like that. And I know it's instantly backed up. Done. I'm good to go with that backup.
That is one thing I have gotten so spoiled with is Google Docs.
Huh.
I mean.
And iPhotos. Not iPhotos. Google Photos.
Photo, yeah. But the Google Docs, I mean, the photos, I mean, I've been using Google Photos for, I don't know, I've got tons of photos up there of my woodworking, my late wife, and a lot of photos of my, you know, kids, my grandkids, and everything else that are irreplaceable.
Right.
But to now have the docs, and it doesn't matter what device I'm on, all I have to do is even on my phone. If I want to pull, in fact, I had this happen at work. Somebody was asking me about a recipe. And wait a minute. And I pulled up my Google Docs. I said, here it is.
Yep. Done.
Oh, that was cool. How'd you do that? And, just do it up in Google Docs. No matter where I go, on my phone, my tablet, my laptops, I just go into my Google account, and there it is. I can access it to no matter. I could be halfway around the world, log into my Google account, and I've got it.
Yep.
There's no excuse. And then, you know, to be able to access that at a fingertip, and I know that it's backed up, but I also back it up to another. I've got another hard drive that I religiously back up stuff to also.
Well, I've got Google Docs, mm-hmm. pCloud, my own website, a local NAS, a network-attached storage, and my computer. Five backups. Counting the original. Four backups in the original.
Well, I go off of two other computers in the house. This one file that I want to always make sure I've got. It goes up to Quicken. I've got online storage up there,
mm-hmm.
and then to my hard drive, and then also to the Google Cloud.
Yep, and that's the way it should be. That way you've got everything you want. Listen, we did get a text message from a text person who talked about having playlists that he or she moved from one machine to another,
and they got,
and they got screwed up, but they found a program called List Fix. List Fix. Which shockingly fixed their playlist. It has not been updated since 2012. But on the other hand, if neither have any of the list formats.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it works and nobody's changed anything else, you don't need to change your program.
Yeah.
It works. There's also a version, not a version, but the program will do iTunes lists as well. So,
you're good to go.
You're good to go with everything. It works on Linux. It works on Windows, and it works on Mac. So, it's called List Fix, and if you search for List Fix, you'll find it. It's at listfix.sourceforge.net. Free download of that program. Can't argue with that. And if you're a music listener and you've been moving your stuff around and lost the playlist, you can either spend a lot of time recreating it, or you can throw it through ListFix and see if it works. If it doesn't, you haven't lost anything.
Right.
Lost a minute of your time. Who cares? And other than that, you're on your way.
One of the other things, you know, we were talking about things for Christmas. You know, like I said, computers aren't, you know, the big hot item right now. You know, they're just, okay. If you're really looking for something, and we've talked about this before, that you want to play around with, is look into a Raspberry Pi.
They're very cool.
I mean, you can get now, and they're not that hard to set up. And if you like to tinker with stuff, go for like a Raspberry Pi 4. And there's also a company called Nexon, N-E-X-T-I-O-N. Nexon will offers various screens and sizes all the way down to, I think it's 2.5 inch all the way up to 7 inch, that you can buy these kits now and put together. And matter of fact, there's one I saw where you can load the Raspberry Pi and the screen, the 7 inch screen hooks on the front. And I'm talking about something that if you get the whole package, the Raspberry Pi and this Nexon screen, you're talking under $100.
It's at nextion.tech, N-E-X-T-I-O-N dot T-E-C-H.
And you can play with these and build literally a computer to do anything you want. So, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg. It's fast. It's fun to play around with. So if you're the type of person that likes to play around with Unix and Linux and all this other stuff, try looking into a Raspberry Pi with one of these screens, because they're also touch. You can get the enhanced ones that are touch screens. And I've seen folks loading them up with games and doing other programming and everything else. And now they even have, like I said, this one display where you can mount the screen on the front. It tilts like on a 45. Matter of fact, you can tilt it all the way down and hang it up if you want. And the Raspberry Pi goes on the back. It's got a nice little pocket that sits the Raspberry Pi in there. Nice thing about Raspberry Pi is you can do either wireless or you could have it hardwired. And it doesn't take much to run these. I mean, you're talking a whole whopping 5 volts. Some folks even get battery packs and run them off of that.
Right.
But the fact that it'll work off of, wired or wireless gives you portability. You know, if you want to play around with it and not have it, wired into another Cat 5 cable, you can do it. And the projects out there. I mean, I know some folks that are controlling their whole heating system. Some folks build them up to play games. Other folks build them up to do other recording of their TV programs.
Right.
And so the list is endless that you can play around with, and you're not talking about a boatload of money, under $100.
Right. The other thing is, pay attention to which Raspberry Pi you want to buy.
Yeah.
The one problem with the Raspberry Pi 4, which is a very powerful, very capable machine, is that it gets very hot.
Yeah. You've got to buy it with the fan unit.
You've got to have a good fan unit on it. If you're looking to spend a lot less money, a Raspberry Pi 3, if you buy the kit, it's well under $100, something 60, 50.
$50.
Yeah, and it comes with heat sinks and a power supply and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that, although it's now a slightly slower machine, and by slightly, I mean you're... Believe
nothing
me,
you're going to notice, I'm fine. Sorry.
But, you know, if you're doing the kind of stuff Dave's talking about, it's more than fast enough. And it doesn't require additional... You want a heat sink, but it comes with a heat sink.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require any additional cooling. So you can do all kinds of things with them, and you can very easily put one together, throw a version of Linux on it if you want to play with that, or there's a half a dozen other things you can run on it.
I've been creating nodes for... ham radio,
yeah,
to set up and do various modes and that type of stuff, and it's so simple. I mean, they've got GUI interfaces now that you can sit there and tie into to change files or set stuff up and everything else. They make it so simple to work with and use. And like I say, if you're interested in doing something, you know, if you've got an idea in your mind, Google, the Raspberry Pis, and then look at the YouTube channels. I have found so much information and help. People that, you know, oh, yeah, I was wondering about how to set this up or do this. 10-to-1 odds, somebody's created a YouTube video on how to do it, and, you know, we'll walk you through the steps, just like everything else, you know. You got a question, you Google it on the internet, folks, and you can probably find your answer. And like I said, it's an inexpensive, fun project that you can get your head wrapped around and not invest a lot of money, but also still have a lot of fun. And if you mess it up, no biggie. You take this little small micro SD card out, reflash it, and start again. Nothing really, you know, you're not blowing up some big machine or anything else. You're not dealing with a lot of high power. Like I said, a whole 5 volts powers the whole thing. And it'll do internet. It'll do HDMI. You know, I mean, it's got a sound jack on it. It's got 4 USB ports. It's got networking if you want to hardwire it into there. And it'll also do wireless. So, you know, I mean, and if you look at it, like I say, when you do up a Raspberry Pi, it's not bigger than I'd say the old-fashioned pack of cigarettes. If you were to take a pack of cigarettes, it's about that big.
And it's not much bigger than that, absolutely.
And it's so powerful. And it just depends on how big of a micro SD card you put into it that you want to load images onto it or, photos or whatever.
Right.
And you can also hook up other peripherals like other hard drives through the USB port in it. So your storage is unlimited. And the things that you can do with it are becoming more and more popular to play around with and do something with.
Yep. I'm sorry. I was posting about ListFix, and now I'm going to post about Nextian.
No. Like I say, there are a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I've been playing around with them. And like I said, I found, because I want to do it with the ham radio, I found another Facebook page that has to do with these screens and people, the community out there that have created things to monitor, home temperatures and everything else that they can then go into, off the small Raspberry Pi, control their homes and do stuff. You don't have to get these big elaborate systems. You can do it off of a Raspberry Pi. Again, somebody's thought of doing something with it and they've done it.
That's exactly the thing.
I mean, like I say, I've got one friend, it records his TV, he's got another Raspberry Pi that controls the heat and the lights within his house, so that when he comes home or his family comes home, he can control even the locks on the door. He's got a front door in there that he can say there, unlock it or lock it, and make you double check to make sure once the kids, say, are in, that everything is locked up. Just from a simple screen.
Yep.
So, it's great, folks. Check it out. I think you'd find it pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat things you can do, a lot of very cool stuff you can do without a lot of work. And if you do a lot of searching around the internet, you'll find that most of the stuff you want to do, somebody's already done.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for software to do stuff, as Dave just pointed out, there's a bunch of programs around that'll record music that'll do pretty much everything. So it's a lot of good stuff.
It's out there.
It's a lot of good stuff.
It's the new way that it's going because, like I said, computers are becoming,
commodity items.
It's no big deal. You want to know, your computer dies? Oh, for the average person, I just go out and get another tablet or another laptop.
That's right.
$200-$300, and then I got something that I can tie into the internet or a Chromebook. Everything's there for me.
That's exactly right. And we're finding that, particularly if you're going to go on a trip, having something that's less expensive, even if you lose it, you're out less money, and if it's like a Chromebook or a tablet that you lock, then you'll be fine. There's a lot of good stuff there for that. Hit the wrong button. Well, that happens. We're done. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank Martin again. Thank you, Martin. I think I should probably thank Dave Enright.
Maybe.
I'd like to thank Steve Ray for not coming. That's so wrong. That's so wrong. Steve knows we love him. Or at least he thinks we do, and that's the important part. But we're done for another week. Listen, have a great week. If you're going to do some cyber shopping, pay attention. You should do your backups and all that other stuff these days. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here in the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. Be good to each other. We will see you in 166 hours.